Hey guys, welcome to the Martial and Healing Arts channel. I'm Rafe Kelly, founder of Evolve Move Play. I'm extremely excited to be sponsoring this channel. Martial and Healing Arts have been key aspects of embodiment and self-cultivation for thousands of years. I have some of my best friends in the industry, Rory Miller, Matt Thornton, Edward Hines, presenting here, and I'm really excited to share what they have to say with you guys. You're gonna love it. So Evolve Move Play is an ecology of practices of movement, mindfulness, nature connection, and community. And within the movement, we have a big emphasis on moving in nature and being able to do parkour. We also like to lift weights and throw things around, but there's a huge aspect of martial arts, and I've been training martial arts since I was 6 years old. So it's really exciting to be able to sponsor this channel in particular. If you're interested in my work, check out my talks on the Main Stage and the Movement Anatomy channel. If you can't get to either of those live, you can check us out at Rafe Kelly on Instagram, get all your awesome embodiment giveaways, and for now, just enjoy this amazing channel. It's gonna be an awesome show.
Hey, welcome guys. Today we're celebrating that we're starting the our channel, Martial Arts and Healing Arts. Yay, welcome. So I'm happy to have you here. We have some speakers lined up, and Tom, our channel manager, is here as well. And we'd like to welcome you and give you the space to introduce your channel, basically your session and what you're about. Is there anyone specific you want to start with, Tom?
Yes, that would be you.
That would be me. Cool.
You already got the mic.
Okay, I have the mic. So I'm a karate teacher and I teach in Holland. And in my session, I'll have some space to basically explore the strength of the body. So it may look the same that you're punching or you're standing, your stance and your position. But if you look from a more embodied perspective, you create strength in the body if you bring your consciousness to what you're doing. So that's a big part of my session. Next to that, we'll be exploring how you can embody strength and basically confidence and how that looks like in daily life. So then it's back to application of martial arts in daily life. And I'm very excited to give that session. It will be Monday morning, I think 11 Central European time. The 19th, and everyone is welcome to join. Bring a partner if you have one, because we'll be doing some exercises. Next, Tom.
Someone that you love, and hopefully will still love you afterwards.
Exactly.
All right. So, looks like everybody could have good. Math is hard. 2, maybe 3 minutes tops. So I will just run down the list. Sam.
Oh, right then and there. Hi, folks. My name is Sam Tatel. I am an Aikido practitioner and teacher and a racial activist, just everything that has to do with folks being included. And so in my talk, I'm going to take you through how I got there and really explore that uncomfortable othering space that I think a lot of folks avoid, and how to notice that in your body, because first we have to notice it before we do anything about it. And I think folks have a really hard time with that. So hopefully with some guidance, I can take you through that for you to notice and practice in your everyday life. And I am just really excited to connect with more folks. I've been offering workshops where Roma also said, maybe bring a partner. And in COVID, that's what we've had to do, but this is accessible if you want to have someone with you, if you don't. And it would be cool if you did though, just to add more folks, but really trying to accept yourself, move and notice things within yourself from a grounded position and what that looks like and feels like. And really hopefully going into a lot of question and answer and being able to explore your own experiences and different situations that you may have questions about. Thank you. Oh, last thing. It's on Friday. It's at Friday at 2 p.m. Central in the US. And I know that I am 6 hours behind the UK. So once again, math is hard. Check your times. Friday at 2 p.m. Central US. Thank you.
So we've had this little thing going in the channel that Sam kind of started. A little bit of a chain of one presenter is hosting the next presenter and down the line. And so next presenter is one that she is hosting. Janice, you're up.
My mom struggles a little bit, but she's there. She just texted me.
I know she's here. I saw her. There she is.
Yeah. Now you hear me? Sorry.
There we go.
I'm here now? Okay. Yep. Sam's laughing at me. All right. My session is on Saturday at 5 o'clock Eastern time. And it's called Breaking the Silence, the Making of a Protester. And it's going to deal with the effects of trauma, past trauma on your body, and the kinds of defenses that people develop. And working through Aikido principles to rewire those defenses into really healthier, more powerful, more open responses. I have a program called BEAT, Being Empowered After Trauma, which does that in a longer session, but just kind of an introduction to that. And then talking about how dealing with personal trauma helps you then be able to recognize and deal with trauma on bigger levels and abuse on bigger levels, like in organizations and even in, you know, in society. You can talk in the, we live in the United States, so there's that. You know, just recognizing gaslighting and using the same kind of principles in protest and speaking up in a productive way. So that's, you know, and I did that with our Aikido organization. It was a big protest. And just what's the nature of protest? As you know, there's just really speaking up for yourself. And if the response is not positive, that you can still just own your own space and be healthy. So in my half a brain here, because I'm driving and there's cops, that's what I think I'm doing. Sam's laughing at me again. Okay?
Yep. I'm actually kind of looking forward to both of their, because they are joint topics on protesting, which is kind of entertaining because it's on the martial arts channel. But I am still happy to have it because we do not shy away from the hard topics. So next up, James.
That's me, is that right, James?
Yep.
Oh, okay. I just happened onto this event by accident, so I didn't know I was going to be presenting a little bit, but I will, I'll do a little improv here. So I'll be doing some work on something called formative embodiment. So it's embodiment, but it's in relation to really the stages of life, that embodiment comes to mean something different at each stage, because we're dealing with a different energy level, a different excitation level of the body and responsiveness, also dealing with boundaries in different ways, depending on your age and life stage. And so it's really a conversation between life energy excitation and what kind of boundaries and how sophisticated they need to be for your age group. And so it's looking at embodiment from a life stage perspective, and also from what kind of forms you create to enable yourself to embody it in different ways. As somebody who is a mature adult needs to embody differently from a teenager, from even an alpha adult. So we're really looking at embodiment from that age and moment perspective, and what's different, and the densities that your body is having to deal with, and that also requires different ways to manage yourself and to form yourself. So it's built to a great extent around the work of Stanley Kellerman and a few other people. So it's very much tied into the relationship of action as an embodied expression of feeling and thought and attitude and so forth. So that, you know, I don't know, that's a few words, and maybe it communicates something about what I'll be doing. It'll be also pretty experiential. So I'll be on Monday, I think at 1 o'clock, I believe Eastern European time, I'm in Barcelona, but I'll do my best to deliver it in English. So, you know, anyway, and although I slip into Spanish occasionally too. So anyway, it'd be nice to see everybody. It's getting past my bedtime tonight, so I'm probably not going to last too much longer. So I will probably slip away soon, but it's nice to see everybody and make contact. And thank you, Tom, for, you know, holding the space, as it were. Great. Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Next up, I'm going to have some fun. Next up, we're going to go down to Australia and the little bit of a mystery that has come my way from there. Every single presenter on the channel from Australia is in the same city. So if you're ever in Australia, hit up Melbourne. It's got to be a great place. So Richmond Heath, you are up.
Thank you. You can hear me okay? Yeah, great. Yeah, look, first of all, thanks, Tom, for hosting the channel. What a huge job, and your team. So my background is as a physiotherapist, and I'm a TRE certification trainer. And I'm going to look at spontaneous involuntary movement. So TRE originally started as trauma release exercises, and there's a number of other people presenting it from that angle. But one of the things that a lot of us don't realize, or we don't even think about, is how do we actually become embodied in the very first instance? And for 9 months in utero, our bodies spontaneously shake and twitch and tremor. And it's a key part of the way that the nerves from the spinal cord and the muscles and the proprioceptors actually connect with each other. And then through that movement, we grow the conscious mind. So while TRE traditionally is looking at a stress release and a trauma release model because we get spontaneous shaking to reduce stress, and that's very valid, what I'm going to be presenting is the use of spontaneous involuntary movement to help embodiment. And what's kind of magical, the point of difference about this process, and there's many different forms of spontaneous involuntary movement, not just TRE, it's just one, is that it's led by the body. So, you know, none of us consciously disembody. And as much as we all try to consciously embody, and we know the value of all the different conscious techniques we use, there's this little piece of difference where when the body is creating movement and actually effectively calling us back into relationship and harmony. And then the second aspect that I'm going to talk about, which I really enjoy about this, is also around flow states. Because when we're stressed and traumatized, we tend to be focused on trying to get away from the past and what's already in our body. But once we've healed, or if we're, you know, not overly traumatized, we get more interested in creativity and how to optimize our performance and move forwards in life. And so there's very few things on the planet where you can actually learn how to surrender, let go, and fall into a flow state, because it's not something we consciously create so much as something as we let go and allow. And so when our bodies start to shake and move, we have a process where we can practice and train ourselves how to quieten or relax or let go of our conscious mind, our thinking mind, and come into that harmony with our physical body. So from my end, it's a no-brainer in terms of it adds and supports to everything else we do consciously, whether it's mindfulness or movement or exercise, or just absolutely everything that can support and enhance it. So my talk is on Sunday, this Sunday the 18th. I'm at 6 p.m. Sunday night in Melbourne time, and I'm at 8 a.m. In London time. So yeah, really excited to be part of it, and looking forward to bringing this subconscious, spontaneous, involuntary movement into the embodiment and flow space.
Great, and next up. Yeah, let's have one of the ladies in. So, Suzanne. Oh, you are muted.
Yep. There we go. Thank you, Tom. Thank you for hosting this. And I'm in Reston, Virginia, on the Eastern Seaboard. And, well, actually, not the seaboard, but on the East Coast. And my presentation is tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And I am going to be speaking about the six wisdom areas of the body and how, when they are deeply embodied, they create the flow state that Richard was just talking about. But also, when we're healing trauma, we need to pay attention to the parts of our body that we're not living in yet. So as I'm a craniosacral therapist of 35 years, I've taught it. And one of the things I saw as I was working with the healing process, the way that we do in the hands-on work of craniosacral therapy, was that it was as though there were different neighborhoods in the body. So the wisdom has its own, the heart has its own particular wisdom. The gut has its own characteristic wisdom. Our pelvis holds its own characteristic wisdom. Our legs and feet hold a particular characteristic wisdom. Our bones have a particular way that they offer us gifts. And then, of course, the prefrontal cortex, as it works with all the parts of the body, is like the great strategizer and map maker. So it has its own gifts. So as I was doing this healing work, I realized if I could teach people about these six major wisdom areas, there are 1,000 minor ones, but those six major wisdom areas, and how to embody more deeply in them, like the practice of it, then people could optimize their functioning. They could come back out of trauma and begin to get into the flow of their own creative juices. What they came to do here at a soul level could begin to be manifest through them. So that's what I'm going to be actually talking about tomorrow at 3 p.m. is how I work with these wisdom areas, how I help people to embody more deeply. In some cases, we'll be working with sound. There'll be some very gentle movement, and conscious awareness, mostly conscious awareness as we drop into our inner landscape and begin to fill with whatever would nourish and nurture us most. So I'm really excited to be here, and I'm looking forward to it. And thank you, Tom.
And let's see, I'm gonna go all the way over to the West Coast to Shelley.
Hi, Tom. Hi, everyone. Nice to be part of this community. I am presenting on October 21st at 8 p.m. Pacific time. And my talk is entitled Embodied Receptivity. So I'm a psychotherapist and also interfaith minister and Aikido practitioner. And what I've come to in my years of therapy is that you don't learn how to listen in grad school. So, you know, they talk a little bit about process and content, but otherwise, and they use the term prosody, which is essentially tone of voice. You know, maybe it's, you know, a cast off sort of teaching. But in general, there are so many ways to really listen to a client. And I'm going to speak to, you know, mostly people who are counselors, right? Counselors or physicians, but also to the teacher or relator within, and talk about all the ways to listen from the body, from the heart, I'm a long-term meditator and Buddhist practitioner. So I'm going to bring in, sorry, 400,000 people. Oh my Lord. I'm going to bring in the process and content of meditative practice as well. And I just hope to allow space for a lot more ways to be an empathic and compassionate listener and holder of space for people.
Great. And let's go all the way down under to Paul.
Hi, Tom. Hi, everybody. Hey, thanks for all of this. It's made 400,000 people. It's crazy. I watched it go to number 400,000 yesterday. It was more exciting than watching the Derby horse racing. It was very cool. my thing that I'm looking at exploring is, it's called embodied touch bodywork. And there's kind of, I think, probably two facets to it, really. One is having an embodied experience of movement as we move, and then also introducing that into a touch or a skilled touch. So part of what I'm going to do is looking at doing some Qigong, and it helps me, and I think it helps people get into a particular state of mind. It's really simple, non-judgmental, no right nor wrong, which is an aspect of all the work that I do. There's no right nor wrong exploration. And we'll do some movement focusing on the way the skeleton works. So I come from an acupuncture background, qualified in 85. I was a zero balancer and zero balancing teacher for many years, and then got into doing more movement in yoga and kind of looking at how we can experience the stuff that we're doing to other people within our own body. So we do get a bodied sense of what we're doing, rather than just being a practitioner. I really enjoy that more internal work. And part of what we're doing is looking at something that I've come up with. It's called bone yoga, which is focuses more on the way that the skeleton moves in movement rather than it being dominated by muscular work. So that if we're doing a simple rotation, it would be looking at the free movement of the joints, and then when the facets start to engage. And in the bone yoga, kind of classical bone yoga, we don't go really a lot deeper than that. We don't get into those kind of really common sensations of stretchy kind of sensations. Using breath, using choices, looking at clarity of touch, but also getting people to actually either work on themselves if they haven't got a partner, but also if there is a partner that they can work on partners, looking at how you can have a clarity of touch, looking at how you can engage the joints and the joint facets, ligaments around the joints. And I think it's gonna be a bit of fun, just doing some gentle movement, easeful, and then putting that into an actual practice as well. I think that's about it, that kind of stuff. I don't know, I'll make it up on the day maybe. No, I won't, no, I know what I'm gonna do. I'm looking forward to sharing with you just my little bit of passion really here. Thank you.
So we have on the channel, we have an Elizabeth, an Elizzie, and a Lizzie. And I didn't write down which of the Lizzies came in first. Actually, all three are here. So one of you, take it away.
Is anyone else going to speak up? Lizzie? Elizabeth? No? Okay, I'm speaking now then. Hi, I'm Lizzie Ramont, and I am calling in this evening from Surrey in the UK, although you will be correct in noticing a North American accent of the American flavor. I am really grateful, Tom, for you bringing us all together, because I have to be honest that up until a couple of moments ago, I wasn't quite sure what was going to come out of my mouth, and I'm still not, but I have a title. That's good news. My talk is tomorrow at 4 p.m. UK time. It's called The Embodied Thread, Integrating Imagination and Precision in Movement and Bodywork Practices. My husband, tonight he turned 50, and we were talking about this presentation tomorrow, and he said, "My, that's an awfully long title," which made me a little nervous. But in any case, I am interested in the interplay of imagination and skillful action. I've been a yoga teacher and a rolfer, and I also have a past in cranial sacral therapy for the past 15 years. I've been involved in this type of work, and I've noticed a lot of similarities in these different frameworks and how to invoke positive change, how to encourage positive change. I'm very interested in what evokes meaning for people, and how subjective that can be, how different the paths can be to afford students, clients, people, ourselves, how to take ownership of this kind of relationship, of the triad we have of relationship that is, for Rolfer, it's certainly tied up with gravity. For yoga practitioner, it's tied up with the inner self, the earth, and other. And I would say that probably fits true for all human beings, for all earthlings, really. So anyway, I'm going to tomorrow unpick some of the common themes that are perhaps helpful to work with, and also go a little bit into, let's say, how habit patterns tend to guide us in positive and negative ways, and what the catalyst is for breaking those patterns and finding either more efficient or healthier ones. And so I'm looking forward to it. I hope that I'll be more succinct tomorrow, but it's lovely to see all your faces. And I hope that you'll tune in. Thank you, Tom.
And we might need to trim this down to 2 minutes, but I think we can still do three.
Oh, I just wanted to check. Before I hang up, can everyone hear me okay? Because I wanted to just check, have another. I was using my computer microphone. I've been using this microphone to teach for a number of months, and I was told that it didn't sound so good yesterday. So does it sound okay to you guys?
Yep.
Sounds good.
Okay. Is it better than it sounded 2 minutes ago? Yes?
Sure.
Yeah, the same.
All right, cool. Thanks.
And Lizzie Wright.
Hi, everybody. I'm going to be talking about surviving death by following intuition, which is a slightly strange title and one I thought about a lot. I've had done martial arts for 34 years, Aikido and karate, which was a big part of how I came to survive death. So it's a bit of a long story, but through my own spiritual journey, I reached a point where I decided that the way to reconnect with the universe was actually to die. So I did a very good job of achieving that. I went into a major heart attack, and everybody was like, this is it, this is the moment, until I actually saw myself leaving my own body. And in that moment, I recognized that actually this was the mistake, because I was leaving my body in order to join what I thought was everything, in other words, the universe. But if you leave this part of yourself, then it's no longer everything. So you've got to stay with the body, stay embodied, and learn how to be able to bring all of that truth through your body and through your consciousness so that you can tap into that at any moment. And that became the catalyst for me being able to see my own energy and heal myself. And now I can see the energy of other people. And when people take my hands, that creates a portal for them to see their own energy and make their own decisions. So I'm not a healer who believes in telling you what you need to do. I'm a person who will show you how to see that for yourself and make decisions that you can come back to and reconnect to. So in the session, I want to talk about intuition. I want to show people how I see energy, how I see all the structures of energy, what that means. I'm going to talk about case studies of patients that I've seen over the years. I've also worked a lot with international corporations, managing directors of big corporate banks and, you know, very sort of high level leadership and executive people, and lectured at business universities and this stuff. So I make it very practical and accessible to people wherever you are, whether you're in a sort of spiritual connection with yourself or whether you're just a high mainstream executive who's heading for the bottom line in terms of profits. So, but I am going to, as I say, just talk through case studies, how I see person's energy, how that has manifested in their lives, and how we step out of that picture into something that brings about well-being, peace, and hopefully joy and total embodiment. That's it. So I'm on the 23rd of October between 8 and 9 o'clock. So come and join me.
Great. Let's see. And we have Elizabeth Bell. Bruce Bell is here for her. And I believe he's also teaching with her. So Bruce? Cannot hear you. Hmm. right, we'll come back and see if we can get that fixed. So I am going to go up into Singapore because Vincent woke up really early for this.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Vincent, and I'm from Singapore. Thank you, Tom, for introducing. And yeah, it is really early. I'm still trying to wrap my head around what time is it, because I slept pretty late trying to fix the computer. This week is challenging, but it's great.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, and I'm an author, a somatic movement therapist, and a certified movement analyst. So I've been in this work, the movement work, for about 20 years now, doing the research and practice, and actually 40 years in embodiment work because of my hole in the heart that I had when I was 3 months old. So yeah, it's a long story with that, but we have only 2 minutes, 3 minutes here, so I'm going to try to keep it really short. So my work here is to help recurring somatic issues, right, that are linked with stress and trauma that affects performance and well-being. So simple issues like tension, pain, sleep, you know, when it is repeating for a long time, it's actually not a simple issue. So the talk that I'm going to be doing is releasing somatic tensions for self-healing. And I'm particularly using the Laban movement analysis approach. And this is happening on the tomorrow, or rather today, today in Singapore time. So 15 October, Thursday, 7 p.m., which is Singapore time. I would suppose it is 12 p.m. UK time and 7 a.m. New York time, something like this. And I just learned that the New Zealand is way ahead of us by about 6 hours or 8 hours. So if it's 7 p.m., it would be wee hours in the morning. So if you can wake up, yeah, New Zealanders, Kiwis. So if you know of any struggling or suffering people with this chronic tension, I invite you to invite them to this space, because I believe that we are not meeting by coincidence, but we are meeting because of reasons that the time is ripe. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
And Bruce, I think you got it working.
Hi there. Yes?
There we go.
All righty. So good to be here. What a wonderful group. What a wonderful event. I'm working with Elizabeth Andes Bell, my wife, for 40 years. And since we've met, we've been working on movement and embodied practices. So we have a lifetime of experience that we are bringing to the table. And we're going to, we've gone through dance choreography, modern dance. We've gone through fitness. We've owned yoga centers. And the last bit of this has been study of biotensegrity and the fascia body, and that as the evolutionary body, the evolving body. And we've developed a number of skills to help people layer their experience with embodiment over, you know, through the fascia and through movement, through sound and breath, along with we're energy healers. So we've work with the chakra system. So how to bring those two levels of the body consciousness and then the energy consciousness of the vital body and of the mind and of the spirit. Ultimately, it's to us, it's a soulful event. And so we're going to just try to create on Zoom an experience for people to begin to land into this place of home. We look forward to that, and we look forward to seeing what everybody else has done. This is wonderful. Thank you.
All right. And I need a martial artist. I saw one. Actually, I saw several. There's several here. Where is he? There he is. Ben, come on out. Down there in Australia.
Hey, good day, everyone. Can you hear me okay? Okay. Thank you, Tom, and thank you, everyone. I'm honored to be part of this group. And I am originally from Canada, but I had to get as far away from my family as possible, so I came to Australia. I'm kidding there, I love them. I spent the last 3 years teaching Tai Chi on cruise ships, and that came to a COVID end. And here I am online, but traveling the world teaching Tai Chi to probably over 5,000 people. And Tai Chi, while today is practiced as an exercise, is a traditional Chinese martial art. And what I learned is that yoga, I grew up doing yoga. My dad was a yogi, done yoga for 30 years. Yoga evolved a lot over the last several decades. That's why it's so popular. And Tai Chi is stuck 100 years ago. And bringing it onto cruises, I found I had to make it more fun, exciting, and relevant to everyone. And that's kind of what I'm teaching in my style of Tai Chi, Tan Tai Chi, moving in harmony. And it's really about people creating their own freestyle Tai Chi. So finding the movements that work well for them as opposed to trying to just mimic a set structure of movements. And how the Tai Chi is done is in harmony with elements. So water being very calming, fire being invigorating, and each movement can have a form of the actual element, depending on what the individual wants at the time. So my session will be tomorrow, well, that's Australia time, 4 p.m. Australia time, and it's going to be active. We'll be doing stuff because I feel it's mostly when it comes to the sort of embodiment stuff, you got to feel it. We could spend a lot of time trying to tell someone what a strawberry or blueberry tastes like, or they just try it and that's what it is. So it will be an active hour session, mostly movement, and hope many of you join. Thank you. Thanks.
And Edward.
Good morning or good evening, depending on where you are. It's really lovely to see all these people. I was wondering if I was going to join this group, and it's like, no, I'm very glad I did. So I'm going to be teaching some simple Bagua exercises. People who do Chinese martial arts, most of them will be familiar with Bagua. A lot of people don't know much about it. It's probably the prettiest, I'm sorry, all Tai Chi people, of Chinese martial arts. I'm going to teach some very, very simple exercises, standing exercises around alignment, structure, how to use the body, sensations around bones and flesh, and equally the idea of balancing fire and water, in this case, the somatic air, sympathetic, parasympathetic nervous systems in the standing exercise, which is, I find, a really fast, powerful way to change your state. And also it's great training for managing to stay relaxed in more stressful situations, because you're providing a degree of stress, which for people who join my session will be in their legs. That's really about it. It's next week, Wednesday, 3 o'clock my time, which is Paris time, 2 o'clock in this time. Everyone else, you'll have to work it out. Being nice to meet you. Thank you.
And John, surprisingly, there's only one of you.
Thanks, Tom, and hi, everybody. I'm a Qigong practitioner in the UK, and I guess really I'm going to be talking about getting it wrong. I've been training now for over 20 years. I've taken my practice to some very unusual places. I've worked sort of with the military in the Middle East. I've worked with some of the world's top nuclear physicists just using Qigong. But my experience was that back in 2010, I had a fairly major sort of falling apart session. And I realized that my practice was actually supporting me in very difficult situations. And I'd become blind to the fact that I was using practice in order to support me through difficult times. And it had helped me in difficult times. So I'm going to be doing a session that's focusing on how with Qigong we can develop the awareness and also integrate the practice so it becomes a fully embodied practice that's going on all the time. It helps you to actually identify these cycles that we can so easily get caught in and actually move through. That's it really. So, it's on the 22nd, it's on Thursday, 4 p.m. UK time. It's probably going to be a little bit controversial and I'll probably talk a bit too much but I'll try to get as much stuff in there as I can so that we can enjoy the practice and enjoy getting it wrong together. So please come and join me and tell your friends. Thanks.
All right, so I've got 20 minutes and 11 more to go. So back over to Australia. We have two Joes. So it's the one that's in Australia, Joe. Joe? Dumbo?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Technology and me don't go together. Good morning, everyone. It's morning here. And thanks for organizing this, Tom. I do Aikido, and the session is going to be Aikido, the Art of Being. Essentially, in martial arts, Japanese martial arts is a train of thought that goes shuhari. You study the art, you understand or master the art, and then you forget the art. Or you study the technique, you master the technique, you forget the technique. And I want to bring that into being as well. How we learn through the body, it develops the mind, and then the spirit takes over or the emotions take over. But essentially, a lot of people think it's three separate stages. I think they coexist. And I want to explore this in the hour that we have on Tuesday. If I can ask Tom, there will be some movement, not a lot. I think on the intro it says there won't be movement. So if we could change that, that would be great.
That's it.
I'll keep my powder dry. And I'm going to be cheeky, Tom, and say it's Melbourne, not Melbourne.
Oh, I'm an American. I screw them all up.
Couldn't resist that one. Thank you very much, everyone. I look forward to seeing you on Tuesday. Good luck.
And well, let's just go ahead and do the other Joe out in the UK.
I'm Joe. I'm in the UK. My session is on the 22nd at 10 a.m. and it is called Somatic Listening, Healing for the Creative Soul. And when I say the creative soul, that's not a particular group of people. That's our birthright. That's what I believe. So I'm a somatic therapist, a sound therapist, a sometimes composer, artist, writer, all sorts of things, and recovering overdoer, which Tom quite laughs at because I'm also working on the embodiment conference. And no, I didn't say recovered, recovering. That one's still a bit of a work in progress. But my session is a bit of an intersection of those things along with some deep listening practices. And I believe all we're asked to do in life is really listen. And when we really deeply listen through the body, we're listening to life around us. And from that point, we can say yes. And from that point, we can create. What sometimes we have to meet along the way is trauma, conditioned thinking. And that's where the somatic therapy informs what we'll do on that session. So there'll be some somatic listening meditations with a little bit of sound meditation and just a really nice bit of space. You know, I'm not here to say there'll be, I'm not going to talk a lot. It'd be very experiential. And yeah, I just really enjoy seeing individuals' response and how they respond to it as a listening body. So yeah, so come and join. It'd be nice and soothing. It'd be lovely to see you. Thanks, Tom.
All right. And David.
Thank you, Tom. Nice to see everybody. I'm going to follow something Vincent just said, which I completely agree with. You know, there's some reason why we're all together here. And the size and scope of this is pretty amazing. And when Tom reached out and said, I'm a martial artist, Aikido, and he said, could you talk about this thing called ki therapy, kyatsu ryoho? And I thought to myself, okay, I've been working on this for years with respect to my own journey. This is what I'm going to talk about, my own journey managing chronic and persistent pain. When I was 15 years old, I shattered my leg as a ski racer, and it healed kind of crooked. No one could see it. I cover it up. But essentially, I've been living with chronic pain, bone on bone, where the tibia hits the talus. Never complained about it, never really talked about it until Vincent, thank you very much, this event. So it's kind of going to be a coming out party where I'm going to talk about strategies that I have developed, self-care strategies for managing persistent pain. And the reason why I think this forum is so perfect, I shared this with Tom earlier, the three skills that I think are important are to focus, learning how to focus and sustain that focus, learning how to relax, especially under stress, and learning how to connect with yourself and others. Well, if I were to take 1,000 presenters and I said, do any of you teach any of the following three things, how to focus, how to relax, or how to connect, I bet 80% would raise their hands and go, yeah, I do that. And so I'm thinking, whoa, this is perfect. I'm going to talk about strategies to help people who are suffering from chronic pain. And it could very well be that people who are already teaching modalities to help people to focus, relax, and connect, if they just kind of hang with me, it might be possible to see, you know what, these skills have been demonstrated in peer-reviewed scientific literature. I'm going to talk about that literature. I'm going to show a couple of videos, one of which will be in neuroscience, just so people understand there are actually known mechanisms how where we focus our attention, or simply what's called focused attention, or what's called open monitoring, which is what we call, you know, relaxing and mindfulness. I'm just going to try to connect a whole bunch of dots, and I'm excited to do that. I can't possibly do it in 50 minutes, but at least I can tee it up, and hopefully it'll be an invitation for more discussions down the road, because I really think I'm giving it away for free. This is not what I do. This is totally new. This is just me sharing. You know what? Works for me. Why wouldn't it work for other people? So that's my story, and sorry if that's more than 2 minutes, Tom.
It's all right.
Oh, October 19th, 3 o'clock Eastern time. And Tom, I did have a question. Are our times and the invitations already adjusted to the best of your knowledge to the time change in the UK?
As best as I could possibly do it.
Okay.
And Google helped me, so might be a little screwed up.
I trust you. Second quick question other people might have. If we're sending, as you know, I'm going to send you a PowerPoint presentation because you're going to be the tech person, as well as two links to videos, very short videos. Do you want us to just send presentation materials to your normal email? And do you want links embedded in the PowerPoint, or would you prefer that they're just separate that you can?
I wouldn't do links in the PowerPoint because no one else can click them. But yeah, just email them to me.
Okay, got it. All right, thank you very much.
So we've had a couple people join in here kind of late. And so I now have 10 people and 12 minutes. So let's see if we can rapid fire through these. Ellen.
Yeah, I can be really quick. Hi, I'm Ellen Meredith, and I'm an energy medicine practitioner and teacher, and I've been in practice for about 37 years now. So what I'm interested in is teaching people how to speak energy. It's the language that your body, mind, and spirit use all the time to communicate. And I sort of feel like if we can speak the lingo, we can participate more, more effectively. And my presentation is going to be about grounding. But because we're in changing times, the earth is changing, the cultures are changing, our habits are changing, I think we need to look at grounding again and revisit it, what it means to ground into the body and what it means into ground into our environments. And I'm going to unpack it. So it's called grounding, anchoring, and rooting, although I'm going to add centering in there. And I'm going to be teaching some energy medicine tools and techniques that you can use, that people can use for grounding in different dimensions. And also teach people maybe how to make up some of their own as needed, as they find ways they need to anchor or root or ground or center in their own circumstances. So that's going to be Saturday night, October 17th, 8 o'clock Pacific time. And I think that's 11 o'clock PM Eastern time.
Sounds right. Is that a minute? And Angus.
Hey, hi, thanks, Tom. Hi, everyone. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yep, great. Great to see you, Richard. So I'm in Devon, UK. My session is Monday evening, UK time, 4 p.m., tea time, in fact. And Tai Chi Essence. So I've been playing the Tai Chi game it's getting on for 40 years now. And I think, you know, the word that comes to mind, really, the big word is simplicity, and how to connect in yourself, really. That's the thing that I'm hoping to, or that's the thing that I'm offering for people to connect in themselves. So I work with five kind of key principles, main principles, the thing of freeing, relaxing muscle around bone, the thing of connecting physically, embodying the sense of connection, you know, from your feet to the crown of your head, from the earth to the sky. This is this kind of thing, really. Focusing how your mind, you work with your mind, how your mind integrates with that whole process, by simply kind of becoming naturally curious. You become naturally curious about the feeling in your hand here, and there you get present, you become present. Anyway, that sort of thing. So it's going to be an experiential workshop, moving around, huge emphasis on relaxation, huge emphasis on alignment and connection, and seeing what you can discover, seeing what shows up in your body and mind, and becoming embodied through the essential principles that are Tai Chi, something like that. I don't know what I just said, but there we are. It would be lovely to see any of you there. You know, you're very, very welcome. It would be great to see you there. Okay, thank you, Tom. Mm-hmm.
All right, Richard, since he already tapped you, really quick.
Hi, all. I'm talking about zero balancing, which touching bone energy and working with trauma. And these are my main passions in my life. I've been working with zero balancing for 33 years and trauma for almost as long, and recently retrained in a in-depth trauma therapy called identity-orientated psychotrauma therapy, which is a bit of a mouthful. And I'm talking about bone energy, which is what not a lot of people know about the energy of bone. We work in soft tissues a lot. I'm an acupuncturist as well. And working with bone energy is working with more of who I am rather than how I am. So it's more about identity, more about the way that trauma has affected us and lodged in our bones. The workshop's going to be an introduction to zero balancing, followed by hands-on work on how to touch bone as opposed to touching soft tissue. Zero balancing is primarily about the ability to meet somebody where they are rather than impose our will on somebody else. So a lot of body work seems to have an idea of how the body should be, whereas our zero balancing is an invitation to become more of who we are, embodiment. So I'm in Devon and I'm talking on the 25th Sunday, the last day, at 10 a.m. So I'm looking forward to seeing all of you there, of course. And I'll finish there.
And the last person to present on the conference is actually here, Maria Paula. Maria?
Sorry. Hi, I'm from Colombia. I'm here in Bogota, and I will be talking the 25th at 3 p.m. about senses and how Yoga Restaurador is combining somatics and yoga to enhance and balance senses. I'm dancer, I'm conservator, I have been healing with hands all my life, historical places and people and myself, and that I'm going to share with all of you in that session. Good luck for everybody.
All right, Shirin, 1 minute, go.
Thank you. Well, really lovely to see you all. I've been having this urge or need or wish to have everybody a bit closer to the camera to just see the faces a little bit closer. Would you be willing to? Yeah. Thank you so much. Perfect. Yeah, and I've also been noticing I got a bit restless on my chair and also got a bit tired. And these are all the things that I feel, you know, I could really relate to what Joe was saying about listening. And this is what my workshop is going to be about. It's going to be about our eighth sense. And if we listen to our eighth sense of body awareness, of interoception, then not so much can go wrong in our life and in our health. And I would like to quote Rumi, and he says something about love that I feel is very similar to how I feel it is with healing. So what he says is, your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. So, I'm comparing this situation a little bit to health and all the things that we do to cross our own boundaries and to not meet our needs. And I compare it to a martial artist. You know, if we train our inner martial artist, that we can find these barriers and bring them down so we can actually heal by ourselves. And this is also what I've been noticing through the last 20 years of working as a psychologist and osteopath, from trying to fix people to now just trying to hold a space for people to feel themselves and you know, heal by themselves, like to support their own healing mechanisms. And that is very satisfying because it also takes away the responsibility to like do anything. my workshop is gonna be on Saturday the 24th of October at 9 o'clock in the morning, European time, Central European time. And it would be lovely to see you there. If I see you at all, I think I can only see a few people, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
All righty. And we are definitely going to go over, but try not to go over too much. Joanna.
Hello. Hi. So I'm Joanna. I'm from the UK, and I'm presenting on Sunday the 18th at 10 in the morning, London time. The topic, or the title of my topic, is Creating Change in the Blink of an Eye. So it's all going to be about self-soothing by using eye movements and applying those eye movements to some of the things that have been mentioned here. So changing the way we feel about a memory or something from our past by moving the eyes through a range of movements. So I'll be doing a self-application technique that we can use for ourselves, or maybe if we are caring for a child who's upset, that we can teach those to a young person as well. So it's a self-soothing application that I'll be sharing in my presentation. So it's quite different to martial arts, but it's certainly very somatic. It's very much about changing how we feel in a very simple way. And it's certainly going to be a very experiential session. So I invite you to come and play and move your eyes as you do. Thank you.
And Annetta. There you are.
There I am. Yeah, thank you, Tom. Thank you so much, and for all these meeting all those, all your inspiring people. It's late in the night for me here. I'm currently in Tuscany. Usually I come from Germany, and there I'll be doing my talk on next Thursday, this 22nd. And it's not a talk, it's an exploration. I want to, as a body worker and as an Aikidoka, I have a special relationship to pain, also from my personal history. And I found working with my clients that the ability to listen deeply into your pain, listen and with certain techniques and strategies, get to the core of the message of the pain that is telling you something important. Something that will be useful to continue on your path and on your health. And so this is what I'm going to offer in space for exploration. Very gentle, very little talk, more going into yourself and finding out what your body wants to tell you so you can come home more to your body, as we all want to do here. So great. Thank you very much.
Jan.
Hi there. I'm really happy to be here. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you for inviting me. And this is such an amazing channel, really. So I'm going to be talking about headaches and migraines. I've been working with them for the years. I don't really know what I'm going to say right now, except for that you can put your hands on your head and your body and you can ease your pain. And so what I'm really going to be doing is working with people posturally, breath-wise, grounding, and then just how to use your touch to actually find your way into the pain and release it. A lot of people, 1 billion people actually that suffer from headache and migraine worldwide. And most people try and solve it with medications and they don't actually know that you can put your touch to your pain and ease it. And so it's like most things, it's not just what you do, it's how you do it, right? So that's what I'm going to be teaching, is how to actually use your touch. And there's a lot of also, it's such a deep and wide topic, but there are a lot of new studies that some of you alluded to in talking about your own work, where you put your, when you match your touch to your pain, both either individually, the person who's the receiver or patient or client, or even more interesting, the person who's the practitioner, that you can make a difference in how the pain, how quickly the pain resolves, or in easing it. So I find that really fascinating. I've been doing that for years and I'm like, someday science is gonna catch up. Well, it is. Some really interesting fascia and other kind of research, but we're not actually gonna be going into that, but it's gives grounding to the work. And so I hope you all will join me. I'm going to be presenting tomorrow, October 15th on the West Coast Pacific time at 6 p.m. And I'm just really excited to hear everybody's presentations, if not live, because there's so much on the replay, because there's so many commonalities here. I'm very excited about it. So thank you very much.
And Tommy, Sifu Tommy.
Well, hello, everyone. it's a great meeting everyone. I guess I'm the newbie here. 2 days ago, I had no idea about the embodiment conference, and I'm very excited about it now. I'm a martial arts guy. I'm a Wing Chun guy. I've been practicing Wing Chun Kung Fu for almost 30 years now. If you're not familiar with that style of Kung Fu, it's very practical. It's very direct. And the topic I'll be talking about will be, what do we do in a physical fight? What actually is a physical fight? And what are the steps that it has to go through in order to get really dangerous, beginning from the visual phase, going through a verbal phase, a pushing phase, all the way into the actual physical escalation. So that's pretty much what I'll be talking about. It's going to be quite physical. And I don't know, it's possible that some of the viewers actually have, you know, somebody to train with. I'm going to have a partner there that I'm going to present with. So maybe some people can follow some of the exercises. And yeah, it would be awesome if you want to check it out. It's going to be on Friday around noon German time. I think that's 11 a.m. UK time, I believe. And yeah, thanks a lot. Looking forward to seeing everyone. Good luck.
And Britta.
Hi, I'll be really brief. I just want to say, sitting here with all of you in this moment really fills my heart. I've been at the mothership for embodiment for the last 55 years, Esalen Institute, where I direct the massage school. So I know many of your teachers, and I'm like, oh my God, this is just remarkable that you're all here. And what I'm going to address really is something dear to my heart, and that's how I and you can be a more effective healer and to live my own life more effectively. It's really about me, and once I do that piece, then I can really be trustworthy because I'm in myself, I'm in my body, I'm acknowledging my shadows, I'm living my life fully. Once I'm there, then I can really be fully present for my client without putting a lot of filters that they may not deserve in place. So I'm speaking on Wednesday night, 6 o'clock California time.
All right. And one last one, because she could not be here due to scheduling issues. So I told her I would tease her thing for her. Georgia Vary, also in Australia, we'll be doing a session on kickboxing for trauma survivors. And I'm really interested in this one. So I hope a lot of people can show up for that one. It's on a day I should probably remember, but I do not. So that's bad on me. So we're a little over time. Mark's going to yell at me. Oh, well. Thank you all for coming out for this. This doesn't work without you all. And this is only a third of the channel. So thank you all for being here. And I will let Roma wrap it up.
Yeah, so I would like to say thank you for joining our kickoff of the sessions. We have 12 beautiful days of a seminar going on. Valuable people, valuable speakers, valuable content. I think there's a lot there. And I would like to ask you all to say hi and bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Good luck, everyone.
Good luck. Yeah.
Bye. Good luck.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Roma. Thanks, Joe. Gone.
Looking forward to your sessions.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah. Looking forward to doing it too.
Yeah. Thanks, Roma. Thanks, Tom. Great opportunity for everyone.
Thanks, Sharon. I want to do your class too.
Thank you,
Vincent. A bit early for me, though, but I'm going to do the
recording. Awesome, Paul.
Yeah.
And it will be recorded, so you can also look back in your own private time.
Yay.
Yeah.
Oh, and thank you, Lanny, for putting that in.
I have a question, Roma. 48 hours for presenters, but also for the people, right? For everyone.
Yeah, for everyone.
And after 48 hours, even presenters will have to buy a package. Am I correct to say so?
No. Presenters will get the full package. So you can see all the channels, all the presenters, all 1,000 sessions.
Yeah. And beyond 48 and hours.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Lifetime access too.
See, wow. I added it up the other day because it was in a discussion of ours. I added it up. There is 3 sessions short of 11,000 or 1,100 wow. sessions.
Yeah, even so, more.
Yeah, it's huge.